Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 138 and Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. Central Sunday morning service for the 5th of October, 2025, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
This is the last Sunday in our sermon series, This is What Church Could Be. And we turn to Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter, verses 21 through 34. I invite you to listen for God's living word. When Jesus had crossed again and the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet and pleaded with him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all she had, and she was no better but grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his cloak, I will be made well." Immediately, her flow of blood stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my cloak?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" Jesus looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before Jesus, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. She had heard about Jesus. That statement by Mark indicates a turning point in that hemorrhaging woman's life. She had heard about Jesus. It makes us wonder just what she had heard. But before we explore that possibility further, let's remind ourselves what we do and do not know about her. Let's start with what we don't know. Namely, we do not know her name. We don't know if she had a family. We don't know if she was a religious person. We don't know if she had any support whatsoever. Rather, we only know her by her illness. She was hemorrhaging. And she lived with that illness for at least 12 years. Mark does tell us that. He also lets us know that during those 12 years of bleeding, she had endured 12 years of physicians who either could not or did not want to help her. And during those 12 years of bleeding, she had also endured 12 years of crushing bills. As Mark puts it, after those 12 years, she had spent all she had and was no better, but grew worse. Anna Carter Florence puts it this way: she was a woman taken over by suffering, whose life was bleeding out of her. That's what we know. And yet, even in her desperation, perhaps because of her desperation, she must have been listening or hoping, searching, hungering for anything that might give her hope, for anything that might have the possibility of restoring her back to herself, for anything or anyone that could remind her she was more than a diagnosis, more than an illness, more than just another patient with another medical ID number, more than what others were saying about her. And as a result, she heard about Jesus. Perhaps that's not too surprising. At this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus' fame was spreading. The crowds were gathering and growing larger. And in the story that precedes this one, he had even been called the Son of the Most High. So yes, stories must have been circulating about this Jesus. Stories so inspiring and strange that this woman, this unnamed woman, must have discovered that even after living 12 years of her life through hell as her life bled out of her, she had still managed to hold on to a hungry, defiant, resilient hope, even if she was hanging on to it by her fingernails. Because of what she heard about Jesus, she immediately determined that if she could just touch his clothes, she would be made well. She did not need to have a conversation with him. She did not need to hear him preach or teach. She did not need to have him pray over her. She simply had this strong, intuitive, perhaps God-given sense that if she could just sneak up to Jesus and touch his cloak, then she might finally receive all for which she had been longing for at least 12 years. So perhaps even though Mark does not give us her name, we should call her Hope, since that's what she embodies. She is a picture of defiant, resilient hope, a hope who's hungry for healing, hungry to be who she truly is, hungry to be restored into a fullness of life. And it's that defiant, resilient hope that compels her to reach out and grab for Jesus' cloak. And when she does, she is immediately, Mark's favorite word, immediately made well. Mark tells us she can feel the healing in her body. But this woman, Hope, is not the only one who feels something in their body. Jesus feels it too. He feels his healing power move from him into someone else, but he can't figure out who it was. "Who touched me?" he asked the disciples. Yet his disciples were of no help. "How are we supposed to know who touched you? Look at all of these people." Yet this is once again when Hope lives up to her name. For she could have just snuck off and blended in with the rest of the crowd as she had previously planned to do. But once again, even after all she had been through, she again chooses to be vulnerable and to tell this Jesus, the one about whom she had heard, the truth. But she doesn't just tell him she's the one who touched him. No, defiant, resilient Hope kneels at Jesus' feet and tells him, as Mark puts it, the whole truth of who she is. The whole truth. I've looked, and I can't find anyone else in the Gospels who tells Jesus the whole truth about who they are. Frankly, I wonder if any of us tell Jesus the whole truth about who we are, the parts of ourselves about which we carry shame, the many moments when fear wins, the myriad of ways we let ourselves or others down, the searing questions that are constantly carving into our hearts, telling Jesus the whole truth, even as we trust he already knows it. Well, it can be terrifying and hard. At least it is for me. But Hope does it, even in her fear and trembling. Furthermore, she tells Jesus the whole truth while kneeling at his feet, knowing full well that everyone around them can hear everything she is saying. And while we don't know what her whole truth was, whatever she told him must have moved Jesus deeply. For the next thing Mark tells us is that Jesus responds to her, calls her daughter of God, her real name, and lets her know that her faith, her ability to risk holding on to a small flicker of defiant and resilient hope, and her trust that Jesus could help her, that faith has made her well. Yet just as we imagined with the bent over woman a month or so ago, I don't see Jesus doing all of this, standing over her. That's not his character. Rather, I see Jesus falling to his knees in front of Hope and cupping her face with his hands while he pronounces her healing and her blessing. Daughter of God, Jesus tells her as he looks into her tired face, your hope, your faith, your trust that led you to seek me out has made you well. You're going to be okay. You are not alone. All the pain and the shame and the fear that you've been carrying around for these last 12 years, you can lay it down now. You don't have to hunger for your healing anymore. So go from this encounter in peace as a fully restored person, a person who is deeply loved by God for being exactly who you are, no more and no less. And from that encounter, not only does Hope find her healing, but Hope also renews her voice. We can only imagine all the stories she told about Jesus after that moment in the crowd. A while ago, I saw a meme circulating on social media, and I couldn't figure out who wrote it, but this is what it said. People speak of hope as if it's this delicate, ephemeral thing made of whispers and spider webs. It's not. Hope has dirt on her face, blood on her knuckles, and the grit of cobblestones in her hair. Hope just spat out a tooth as she rises for another go at the world. That sounds like the hemorrhaging woman to me. And it also sounds like a community of faith, a congregation who's determined to follow into her footsteps. William Sloan Coffin once wrote about this defiant, resilient Christian hope. He said, we can be hopeful, hope being a state of mind independent from the state of the world. If faith is what puts us on the road, hope is what keeps us there. It enables us to keep a steady eye on remote ends. It makes us persistent when we can't be optimistic, faithful when results elude us. For like nothing else in the world, hope arouses a passion for the possible, a determination that our children not be asked to shoulder the burdens that we let fall. Hopeful people are always critical of the present, but only because they hold such a bright view of the future. Hope resists, but hopelessness simply adapts. Hope resists, but hopelessness simply adapts. And that is why I believe that this hemorrhaging woman, Hope, is every person and every congregation who's ever held on when all good sense would say, let go. This hemorrhaging woman, Hope, is every person and every congregation who's ever stayed in the fight when all reasonable logic says, throw in the towel. This hemorrhaging woman, Hope, is every person and every congregation who stood up when political pundits and politicians say, sit down. This hemorrhaging woman, Hope, is every person and every congregation who has reached out when everyone else around draws back. A friend of mine calls this kind of defiant, resilient, faith-grounded hope a miracle. For God does not make us have hope. Hope is a choice. We choose it or we don't. We give up on it or we stick with it. Choosing hope, hope that has dirt on her face and blood on her knuckles and the grit of cobblestones in her hair, and hope who just spat out a tooth as she rises for another go at the world. Choosing hope is always a miracle that is ours to do. And our choice to claim such defiant, resilient hope will change how we see and interact in this world. For it reminds us of all the promises of Scripture that claims that God's goodness will prevail and God's love will conquer all. And it also helps us to look at the world and realize this is not as good as it gets. We do not need to be satisfied with this. It is not as good as it gets. Furthermore, our choice as people and as a faith community, as a congregation, to hold on to such defiant, resilient hope, even if we're hanging on by our fingernails, tells the world around us that because of what we know about God and Jesus, we deeply trust that there will come a day when every tear is dried, when every hunger is filled, every war is ended, every person is welcomed, every fear is silenced, every hate is transformed, every burden is lifted, and every hand is held. That is the promise. As my father would preach, holding on to this kind of defiant, resilient hope is what helps us as church to live as if we are an island of already in a sea of not yet. An island of already in a sea of not yet. Unapologetic and undomesticated, created and communal, just and generous, reformed and reforming, hungry and hopeful. So friends, let us have another go at the world. Let us have another go against injustice. Let us have another go against exclusion. Let us have another go against violence and degradation and racism and apathy. Let us have another go until the time comes when the voice of hope is again heard loudly and clearly calling out to all creation and to all people to be made new. And as we do so, let us tell anyone and everyone who might hear all the stories of Jesus that we know. For we never can tell who might be listening, hungry and hopeful for newness and for what can be, what will be, and for a church in which they can be seen and known. Let's have another go. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.